at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The wise conversations continue around here as we get ready for AFC, NFC Championship Week, and Wink Martindale, and who's going to be the defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver. Luke Jones joins us now, not from Owings Mills, but from his palatial estate in Pennsylvania. I don't know the next time you're going to be in Owings Mills or how it's going to go. I know we're going to be watching some football. I'm allegedly going to the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now, but I'm not sure how this is going to work with mask and Radio Row and all of that. But who will be there? And I tell you what, Luke. Those games were amazing over the weekend, but the fact that the Rams could be hosting the game adds a little something, as does Joe Burrow, as does Patrick Mahomes, like, you know, all the way through all of that. But how these quarterbacks get here, and to your point, we talked about this earlier, where the star power is, Matt Stafford's been trying since my boy Jimmy Schwartz drafted him, you know, and this close to the top of the mountain. And I think a lot of people looked at him as a loser because he was in Detroit all those years, and sort of an Archie Manning disease kind of a little bit, right?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And look, I consider me someone who didn't know if he could play on this stage when the stakes are at this high of a level to play the way he has. And you know, it's 1-2 playoff games now. You know, you're in Detroit all those years. Lousy teams. I mean, you had Megatron. You had a Hall of Fame receiver he threw to there at the beginning of his career. But it's the Lions, right? And, I mean, you mentioned Archie Manning, or you know, go down the list of some guys who played for some really lousy teams over the years. So I think it's funny, as much as there's so much focus on Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, who lose this weekend, and those guys are both at the end. You know, certainly Brady closer to the end than Rodgers, we think, but Rodgers could retire. Who knows? And we've talked so much about the young quarterbacks. Now you have Matthew Stafford, 33 years old, new city, a roster that is very much built to win now. I mean, my goodness, when you look at how the Rams have traded draft picks for impact veterans, and you know, they bring in Odell Beckham, they bring in Von Miller during the season. You know, we know about the contracts they've spent and trades they've made for Jalen Ramsey, you know, a couple years ago. They're built to win now. And Matthew Stafford at 33 years old is a win now quarterback. So for them to make it to the NFC Championship, and you just mentioned the possibility after Tampa Bay did it last year, albeit with a reduced capacity. And, you know, I mean, a little bit different, obviously, with different stage of the pandemic than where we find ourselves now. But it is pretty cool to think about the fact that they're a win away, although San Francisco, you know, let's not spoil them, even though Garoppolo certainly doesn't mean as much to his team from a statistical standpoint. But I think anyone would tell you his leadership has been a big part of what they've done the last couple of years. But for Stafford to be on this stage and to play well, let's face it, he outplayed Tom Brady on Sunday. There's no question about that. You know, Tom Brady down a couple receivers, down his right tackle. That was a big factor as well, I thought. But for Stafford to now be a win away from the Super Bowl, I mean, this is why the Rams traded for him. This is why he was ready to leave Detroit. I think, you know, after years of losing, you get to come to a new place, new city.
I didn't know he was allowed to play in January.
A team that's right, exactly. So, you know, from that standpoint, like, he's kind of the in-between quarterback here. He's not at the end of his career, but he's certainly not at the beginning like some of the young quarterbacks we've talked about that are still in this tournament.
The perception of him changes dramatically beginning this week. Whatever could be, you know, whatever it's been in Detroit and quiet, and people in Chicago and Green Bay and Minnesota see him every year and say, well, he's pretty good, but the team stinks. And that's where my Archie Manning thing comes from. This is the one time for him to have a chance to shine. He hasn't lost a lot of playoff games either.
Right, exactly. He hasn't been to the playoffs a whole lot. So, yeah, that's fun. And I mean, you always think about the quarterbacks who are able to change their perception at the end of their career. I mean, John Elway's a great one. Even though Elway had been to Super Bowls, he hadn't won one, right? Until his last 2 years, and he wins two. And now we think about John Elway in a way different way than, say, Dan Marino, who I have great respect for. Go back and watch Marino. That guy was unbelievable. One of the all-time greats, but got to a Super Bowl a second year and didn't get back after that.
I always thought Elway was the best quarterback I ever saw. And this is probably a little bit of a tribute to Josh Allen. I see the same game that people would say, well, Josh Allen runs more than Elway. Go back and watch Elway get out of the pocket and move around when he was getting chased. Elway ran, and especially in the fourth quarter when he's behind and slinging. Elway was unbelievable to watch. And I know you're a youngin and all that, and I watched him every week. And they were always the 4 o'clock game because of Denver and West Coast, so they were always playing at 7 o'clock. And we didn't have a team for most of those years, so we're sitting here watching them. Elway, Josh Allen's game reminds me of Elway's game. Also the moxie, the sort of the cowboy part of it, and not just the Wyoming cowboy, but the cowboy part of it reminds me of Elway. So, yeah, I kind of root for Josh Allen a little bit in that way because I rooted for Elway.
Yeah, I mean, I see some Elway. I see some early Roethlisberger. I mean, not the guy at the end of his career, but, you know, just he looks like he's going to be sacked, and all of a sudden he's free. But he's got a hell of an arm. I mean, faster than Roethlisberger was, you know, even early in his career. That, you know, I'm not saying same guy, but yeah, he's something. But, you know, to bring it back to Stafford, though, I mean, what does the Super Bowl do for his legacy? I mean, this guy's put up a lot, some big numbers. Now, what's interesting is hasn't been to a ton of Pro Bowls. I think only one Pro Bowl, though, which I was surprised by, looking at his Wikipedia. But he's put up big numbers, was always considered a guy that was a good quarterback. Guys, right? You know, you always talk about quarterbacks. Yeah, but what about January? What about winning? What about titles? And well, he was stuck in the NFC North with Aaron Rodgers all these years, right?
So, you said Aaron Rodgers. You
know, that's really
he's
difficult.
He's not playing anymore, by the way. You just said Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers was the biggest story, and then all of a sudden, Sunday happened, all the games happened, and it's almost like, oh, Ryan Tannehill and Aaron Rodgers, they were one seed. Well, look what happened to them. Kind of reminiscent of what happened to the Ravens 2 years ago.
No question. You're forgotten about pretty quickly then in the context of what we're talking about now. But it's, you know, and you're talking about Josh Allen. He's not playing amazingly. You know, I mean, you look at what he did the last two games. I mean, just incredible. I mean, if Buffalo wins on Sunday and we're going to the NFC or AFC championship and they're hosting the Bengals, right? He's on a Joe Montana, Joe Flacco, Kurt Warner kind of postseason path. I mean, that's how brilliant he was these first couple games. Just incredible. And, you know, Mahomes at this point, you kind of almost expect it, right? I mean, and that's what's crazy. Again, he's 26, 27. He's not that old, but it feels like he's been around. And my goodness, on the verge of going back to another Super Bowl. But you know, that's what's just exciting about these young guys. As much as I was talking about Stafford, and that's a good story. He's the in-between guy here. You know, you got young guys left in this thing that's fun, you know, on the AFC side with Mahomes. And I think it's a conflicted feeling for Ravens fans, but you know, the Bengals, I mean, you know, their fan base has never, at least I've never encountered anyone being obnoxious from Cincinnati. I'm sure they have their fans just like every fan base has that, but yeah, that's fun. You know, I mean, the Bengals being a win away and what Joe Burrow's done, even though, you know, Burrow didn't play at near the level of Mahomes or Allen this weekend, but he still, hey, did what he needed to do to win. Cincinnati's defense, you know, really did a great job against the Titans. But, you know, it's fun seeing these young guys in this, and the league's going to be fine. You know, whether Tom Brady played his final game on Sunday or not, the league's going to be fine. Whether Aaron Rodgers played his final game on Saturday night or not, the league's going to be fine, because you see these young guys coming in now, and it's just, it's wild. And, you know, looking at it from a defensive standpoint, how do you slow them down? And I think if you're the Ravens watching, you know, especially what happened Sunday night, how do you get your offense humming back where it was 2 years ago? Now, they're not going to play the same style as Buffalo or Kansas City necessarily, but this offense was amazing 2 years ago. How do you get it humming and efficient and explosive like it was 2 years ago? How do you get back on that track? And that's the big question, regardless of Greg Roman status or whoever they bring in, or, you know, how do you get Lamar Jackson playing at that level again? I think the offensive line is going to be a big part of that. But boy, you just look at Buffalo and Kansas City, it's like they were playing a different sport on Sunday night. That was remarkable. It really was. And, you know, if you're the Bengals now, you're going to KC and beat the Chiefs a few weeks ago, but regular season's not the same as the playoffs. So we'll see how it turns out. Certainly, would love to see the Bengals pull off the upset, but they're the underdog, and they should be the underdog going into this one. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, what do we say about the Bengals and their upstartness and the division and where we are watching this? It certainly is a little intimidating from a Burrow perspective in that they're going to be a factor. Cincinnati with that quarterback the next 2, 3, 5 years, whether Lamar's here, whether they give him money, we're going to have to go beat Joe Burrow. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's reality. Now, I'll say this. He was sacked 9 times on Saturday. So that needs to be part of this equation. Now, and I understand you could say, well, Tennessee sacked him 9 times and they still lost. Well, Cincinnati's defense played really well, too. I mean, look at what they did against Derrick Henry coming back. Even though if I were them, I would have gone to Deontay Foreman a little bit more. He looked like he had a little more juice than Henry.
I was going to say the other running back looked like, Both the same way. They're like 6'4".
Oh, yeah.
Like Latavius Murray. He's like dudes.
Right. I mean, he had 66 yards on 4 carries. Now, he had the 45-yarder, but I would have done that. But the point is, yeah, Joe Burrow is not going anywhere. I think it's very obvious with the set of receivers he has right now, led by Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they're going to be a handful, and you're not going to stop them completely. It's going to be a case of, in the same way we would talk about the Steelers 5 years ago when they had Antonio Brown and Ben was still playing at a really high level. Same way we talked about the Patriots all those years, talked about Indianapolis for all those years with Peyton Manning. You're not going to slow them down, or you're not going to stop them. Can you slow them down just enough? And the big key is your offense needs a score of touchdowns. You can't settle for field goals. And, you know, that's one thing I liked about Buffalo's approach right off the bat, you know, on their opening drive. They knew going up against Kansas City, you got to score touchdowns. And I mean, you got to go for it on fourth down. You got to be aggressive. You have to step outside your comfort zone. And I think that's what the Ravens and everyone else in the AFC North looking at Burrow and this Bengals offense, as much as I think they still need some work on their offensive line, which, let's face it, is most teams in the league. I mean, it's just everyone's looking for that. But you're going to have to play at a really high level to beat this team now moving forward. And it's not to say I think the Ravens can do it. I don't think the Bengals are going to be invincible, but got a really good young quarterback who, for all these years, waiting on Ben Roethlisberger to finally hang it up and leave. Now, well, Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be around for a while. But I would say, in fairness, the Bengals have been saying that about Lamar Jackson the last few years. And until this year, Lamar had made them look really, really bad. I'm hoping that's the next great QB rivalry. And, you know, we saw years of Flacco against Roethlisberger, throw Dalton in there for a minute, go back 6, 7 years ago. He was in there a little bit anyway. But now I think you have Lamar and you have Joe Burrow, and who knows what's going to happen with Pittsburgh. I'm certainly not expecting Baker Mayfield to hang in Cleveland long-term at this point, unless he comes out and has an unbelievable 2022. But boy, these two guys, I mean, it's something, but Joe Burrow is going to be a problem. There's no question about that. And be interesting to see how he fares in an AFC championship in a game where, you know, it's one thing to talk about Tennessee. It's another thing to talk about the Raiders the previous week. Go up against Kansas City, you got to score touchdowns. And one thing you can say about them, as much as they've won these two games and you give them credit, their red zone offense hasn't been what it is going to need to be against Kansas City if they want to give themselves a chance to win on Sunday.
Who's going to be defensive coordinator? What's our odds? I was going to say Vegas odds, but I went down to the casino Saturday. I went down to Maryland Live. I saw the bowling alley and the sports and social, and wandered around the mall a little bit, wore my mask, my lottery mask. But you can gamble now. There were lines, kiosks, lines. I didn't get in the line and bet because it was going to take a little while to bet if I wanted to bet, and I'm not a bettor. But I'm sure there are odds on who the defensive coordinator. Anthony Weaver's going to get this job, right? Probably.
It feels like that would feel like the Ravens hire here. But at the same time, Nestor, I don't really know, because firing Wink Martindale didn't feel like a Ravens move. Let's face it. When John has changed coordinators, even though you could talk about the timing of Cam Cameron and everyone can remember Jason Cole saying dancing on the edge of chaos and everything because of the timing of it, no one was surprised at the outcome of Cam being let go, though, right? No one was surprised when Mark Trestman was fired. No one was surprised when they moved on from Marty Morningwig. I mean, but Wink did a really good job. And that's where this is a little more difficult for me to handicap this, because whoever they bring in, whether it is just an internal promotion because the smart money would be on that, because that's how they've operated. And if you're looking at that, to me, it would be Anthony Weaver maybe Chris Hewitt, although, you know, Chris Hewitt was coach in the secondary that had so many issues this year. So I don't know if that makes sense as far as selling that to your fan base, if the Ravens care about selling it to their fan base at this point. But, you know, I think, you know, the name that came out over the weekend, Joe Witt, who put secondary with the Cowboys, I think what's going to be interesting is philosophically, do they move in a direction of less blitzing, more simulated pressures, and maybe not leaving your corners on an island, maybe a little more two deep safety, maybe a little more three deep looks, and you use more simulated pressures. But I think it's going to be fascinating, whoever they hire, you know, whether it's internal or, you know, I mean, bring someone from the outside, Mike McDonald from Michigan, who did a good job with Jim, and see what happens with Jim Harbaugh there. But I'm fascinated. I think it'll be an internal hire just because of history. But again, this felt, getting rid of Wink didn't feel like a Ravens move to me. So who knows what's going to happen? I really can't say I have a good feel for it, because a week ago, every indication I had gotten was Wink Martindale wasn't going anywhere. So who knows at this point?
Well, they're now an organization that fires defensive coordinators at 6 o'clock on Friday nights on playoff weekends. Luke Jones will be in Owings Mills whenever they let him. We will be on the Zoom whenever they let us, and they will hire a defensive coordinator. We'll be talking about that all week long. You can find Luke at WNST.net, Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs, as well as Nasty at WNST.net for me. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.